agency featuring Erie Insurance Products is celebrating over 55 years, insuring East Tennesseans from auto, home, life, and so much more. For a personalized, no-obligation quote, they can be reached at 865-922-3111 or online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Science of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars, and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Is the latest threat from Iran the actual threat of Ezekiel 38 and 39? Even though Israel now has a friend in the new U.S. administration, it's business as usual for Israel. But is it business as usual for Europe? Well, for Berlin Jews, it is. We'll see the good, the bad, and the ugly as we look at the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, February 28th, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles that we talk about, or you can ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question when you visit the Signs of the Times section on the waymedia.net, or simply grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who recently called the Paranoia Hotline, where the guy who picked up asked him, "How did you get this number?" is Pastor Mark, whose wife recently accused him of stealing her thesaurus. Can you believe that? Well, neither could Pastor Mark. Not only was he shocked, he was appalled, aghast, and dismayed.
That's good.
And I'm shocked those things are still around.
Yes. No, that's good. I like that. You know, you got to have different adjectives you can use to make your point. And so that's very good. So
that's why we have thesauruses.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. So before we get into articles, you want to kind of give the lay of the land, I guess, as you would see it physically playing out, but how it will affect prophecy as it relates to the land of Israel.
Yeah, I'm watching some of this. You know, again, I think as prophecy students, we always have to be, open to seeing new information and adjusting our views some, not about the main, issues. The main things that the Bible is clear on are going to happen. Not so much that as how they happen, the way they come together. And, you know, when you read, and I'm going to read you something here out of Ezekiel 38, and we'll get to more of articles pertaining to Ezekiel 38 in a moment, but it says this, this is when Iran and Russia are going to be coming against, and some other nations against Israel. It says they're going to come against them in verse 8 of chapter 38, at a time they're all dwelling safely. And I've had people ask in the past, well, how could it be, now, because they're not dwelling safely at all? And I've always thought, well, you're right, they've always got their threats, but in general, they dwell safely. They've got their own military. They have their own borders. There's not always war. There's the flare-up. So I've always looked at that as saying, all right, that probably just means in general, they've got their own nation, their own military, as safe as anyone can be. But I'm starting to wonder now, Greg, with new things that are happening and all that President Trump is doing and all the things that are going on, if it doesn't mean even more of dwelling safely in even a greater measure. And what I mean by that is, you remember the first time President Trump was in, he, of course, moved the embassy to Israel, which was, everybody said, if you do that, World War III will break out. Well, it didn't. I think a lot of times the enemy just tries to make things scary because he doesn't want anything for God's benefit to advance, which makes sense. We understand that. And now others have opened up embassies, and even some this year opening up embassies since he got reelected. There's some new ones that have, a couple new ones that are opening up embassies there. But with that said, I look at what's happening with what they call the West Bank. And it's always bothered me because there is no West Bank in Israel. Israel's Israel. But they call it West Bank, meaning that the West Bank of Israel, where the lines come up to, there's an area there that they call Palestinian territory, which there, again, are no Palestinians. And by the way, for those who are wondering, those that they call Palestinians are actually technically Jordanians. That's where they come from. That's the region they're from. And so really, they're actually technically, by the UN, when they were all redone and redistributed, Gaza and everything else, those are Jordanians. So they belong in Jordan, but Jordan's refusing to take them. Well, that's a whole other story. We'll see what happens with that. But either way, I've always wondered, you know, now you've got this thing that happened in Gaza where they came across the border and just the horrible thing that happened October 7th. Greg, they have one of those in the middle of their country. Imagine, it's one thing, and we talked about the example, if Mexico came across and attacked our homes like they did, you know, Gaza and Israel, that would be that side of our nation, and we'd be aghast, and we'd be dealing with it, right? Imagine if right in the middle of the country, you just had kind of an oval-shaped swath that covered, you know, several states, maybe four or five states, and kind of came back around this oval-top circle, and it was all the enemy. Somebody that hated us, say it was Iranian territory in the middle of our nation, and they all want jihad against America. How long could we endure that? Now, Israel had no choice but to endure it because they were assigned a land, and they didn't conquer it. They were assigned it, and there they were, and they've now defended it. But so imagine if we were assigned America, and then in the middle of it was assigned an area for Iran. You'd put up with it for a while, but once your nation got strong, you'd say, how long are we going to let them kill our people from inside? And how long will the enemy live within? We need to deal with this. I think we're coming to a place like that with Israel, and I really never thought we'd see it until the Antichrist came on the scene, and even wondered if it would happen then, because as they divided up the land, I assumed that would just stay the way it is, and it may. Let me just say that nothing may change, but I'm starting to wonder now, and Daniel says in Daniel chapter 12 that knowledge will increase in the last days, and I think it's referring to prophetic knowledge. I think you could also make, you could make an argument for science as we see all that, but I think the direct context is prophetic.
Okay.
But with that said, I'm watching what's happening with Gaza, and I think they're going to clear out Gaza. I believe Gaza, they're not going to go for the second round, phase two, Israel or the Hamas. And so I think at some point you're going to see Israel just pull the trigger. I mean, no pun intended there, but just start the war again and clear it out. And those that remain, the prisoners that are alive, and those that remain, I think they're going to take them and move them, whether some in Jordan, some in Egypt, some different areas, whatever the case might be. They're going to get them out of there. And that really answers a lot of questions as far as one of their enemies right there on their border. You've seen Syria fall apart. Syria is not really causing any problems. They've been so weakened by the fall of their government that now Israel has actually pushed back a buffer zone in Syria and put some outposts up there. So there's actually a much safer area now on the eastern side where Syria is, eastern and northern. Then you go, so you got the southern side about to be dealt with, I believe, soon. I think within the next month or so, you're going to see that dealt with. Then you're going to see the upper portion up there, or the eastern portion with Syria. Then you have the northern portion with Lebanon and Hezbollah. Not sure how they're going to deal with that yet, but Hezbollah is going to have to be cleaned out as well. So we're not totally done with Hezbollah. But you got this area right in the middle they call the West Bank. And Greg, they're attacking from the West Bank. Matter of fact, when they had planned all those bombing raids last week, we talked about where the bus is, they had this whole big plan thing. They were going to come out of the West Bank and attack the villages around and kill them like October 7th. That was the plan. They now know that. They discovered their plan. But they were able to thwart it because they found out about it because they set their timers wrong and God protected them.
Wow.
But think about that. Now you know you've got a group of people that wanted to do that again. You're still dealing with one that did it. You think they're going to let them stay there? See, I think they're going to go to the president, President Trump, and say, are you with us on this? Can we now just make this Judah? Already one of our major leaders, I forget which cabinet member, declared from now on he's going to refer to the West Bank as Judea and Samaria. He's not going to refer to it as the West Bank anymore. So it has begun. The lingo has changed. The Gulf of America is starting to kick in where you change the lingo and then everybody has to deal with it and you have to change all your GPS things. The lingo has begun. President Trump says he's mulling over the situation in the West Bank. And he's going to be making a statement, you know, in a few weeks or whenever. I personally believe, and we'll see if it happens, I think the president is going to come out and say, we support Israel in annexing the West Bank and making it officially a part of Israel as Judea and Samaria. And I think Israel's going to say, all right, we do it. We declare it. It's done. You're going to see the world pitch a fit. You're going to see those in there pitch a fit. But Israel, I think, is going to go in. And they may go in at the same time they go in to finish off Gaza and start clearing out all the terrorists. And just, again, when we talk about they're going to dwell safely, Greg, it may literally be removal of their enemies without and within, and they are dwelling safely. And imagine, the mindset's going to be, we've got it made now. This is finally. And that's when they think everything's good. And then here comes the attack. So I'm saying, keep your eye on that. Be watching the news. That wouldn't surprise me at all if that's not going to take place. I believe it very well may.
Now, President Trump, when we think of Genesis 12:3, Pastor Mark, we've talked about this before. Not that his motivation is scripture for right. what he's doing for Israel.
Right.
You know, if God says that Nebuchadnezzar's his servant, God can put whatever he wants in the heart of President Trump
right.
to do whatever he wants if God is having that kind of influence with President Trump.
Yeah.
But my question to you is this. When we look at the cabinet that's been assembled, the corruption that's been uncovered, the speed in the favor with which this administration is moving to right all the wrongs
right.
as fast as it can, the apparent wisdom of Solomon, at least from my vantage point, because I'm nowhere close to having any kind of wisdom like Solomon, when it comes to dealing with Ukraine, when it comes to dealing with the tariff situation, and how that's ended up strengthening the dollar. And we've talked about some of this mm-hmm. stuff before. Can we say, and the wisdom that he's had in dealing with Israel up to this point, can we not say, or can we attribute that to the effects of Genesis 12:3, whether he was doing it because of what Genesis 12:3 said?
I think we have to. I think, first of all, you can't discount the gifts that God gave President Trump as a businessman. He thinks in ways to fix problems from a business perspective, which is what he's doing, and all these things that people hadn't thought that way. They're politicians.
Exactly. Yes.
They think like politicians and making everybody happy. He thinks about, no, what's going to fix it and how do we make money?
And put America first.
Yes.
Right.
So, yes, I think he has those natural gifts. But do I believe that God is also blessing because of his stand with Israel? Absolutely. The Bible doesn't say you have to be a believer for God to abide by his word in Genesis 12:3. He just says, those that bless Israel, I will bless, and those that curse them, I will curse.
Regardless of where their stand is.
Exactly. So, yes, I do believe that a lot of what we see happening here is indeed where the president is and what he's doing in relation to just his blessing of the nation of Israel. So I think as long as he does that, you're going to see a continual blessing that way. But it's interesting. It brings in another factor. And this is fine because I want to take a moment to talk about some of these current issues. But something I haven't brought up to the body yet, but at some point I will. I'll share with our listeners now. And I may have mentioned this to our listeners. I know I do so much reading and stuff on my own. I forget what I've said on the radio and not sometimes. But yes, Paula White, as you know, is his spiritual advisor. I don't know if you knew about that or not.
Yeah, but we haven't talked much about her.
She's a part of the NAR, not the NRA. The NAR, it's a Reformation, new Association Reformation. It's this, and let me double check that what it stands for to make sure I'm saying that right, because I always just call it NAR. But again, what's interesting about this is their beliefs, Greg, they believe that they're kingdom now.
Oh, okay.
And they
so
believe
it's dominion theology.
It is dominion theology, and they do believe that we're going to take over the world before Jesus comes back, that we Christians have to take it over and then hand it to Jesus ready to go when he comes back, like turnkey. Hey, we got your investment ready. Now you can move in.
Yeah.
Well, that's nonsense. Nobody can fix the earth but the Lord. But with that said, what's happening is I don't know how much credence he gives her, but think about it. If she believes that we have to take the whole world over as Christians and she's his spiritual advisor, whether or not he's receiving all of it, the information she's saying to him is, look, you should take Gaza. You should take Greenland. You should take Russia. You should take Ukraine. You should take, because Christians have to take the whole world over. God spared you in that attack there. God spared your life so that you could now take the world over for Christians and take all these things and do what you want. And then Jesus can come back. That's the counsel she's giving. Look, I'm not in that counsel room, but I know what she believes. She's giving him counsel that God spared his life so that he can have Christians take the world over. I guarantee you that. Now, like I said, how much he's listening to her, I don't know. But if you really believe that and you had some pride, And you're thinking, you know what? I never paid God that much attention, but he's got my ear now, quite literally. And so he spared my life.
Yeah.
And
he's got to think
and,
that,
and the
right?
counselor that's here in the White House is saying, God wants me to take the world over for Christians. You know, why don't we take Greenland? Why don't we take Panama back? Why don't we take Gaza? Why don't we just take Canada, make them our 51st state? Why don't we just have, Mexico just absorb into? Why don't we just kind of start working on taking over the globe since that's God's will and God spared me for this? Look, I think some of that's going on. I really do. Whether he's thinking it through that much, I don't know. But think about it. If you had those ambitions to kind of take things over and you got somebody saying, you know what, God spared you to do that. And by the way, the Bible says the whole world's going to be taken over by Christians. You're the agent. You're the one he's raised up in these last days. So
well, what a twisting of scripture.
Now, here's what happens. It's a temporary, wonderful position for America in that he's bold to exert our power and get the world in a proper order because his viewpoints are pretty good. They're not Christian necessarily, but they're good positions as far as supporting Israel, as far as this kind of thing.
Right.
But in the long run, it could be disastrous. And so I think you're going to see, though, I've said this before, I think you're going to see the president be a part, if not fulfilling it, a part of getting the world more prepared for the Antichrist. Is he the Antichrist? No. Is he the false prophet? No. Is he working for the devil? No. I don't believe any of that. I think God put him there, and I think he's right now being a huge blessing to our nation. I think God has given us a reprieve. Before the great tribulation and the rapture and all that, how long it'll last, I don't know. So I'm not saying anything derogatory. I love the president. I love what he's doing. What I'm saying is if he has these kind of motivations and this kind of power and keeps moving things forward, somebody has to get the world unified so that when the bad guy does come on the scene, it's unified. He can take it over and run it. Now, that doesn't mean the Antichrist wouldn't be the one that gets it finally put together. That may be the case. But think about somebody that starts kind of getting it ready. And I kind of see him as kind of like, you know what? It's kind of getting it ready, whether he realizes it or not. It's a good thing where we're coming from, but it's going to be a bad thing in the long run for the world. And you look at some of this stuff, Greg, with the AI, and we're about to see AI explode this year. You're going to see our lives are going to change. I'm telling you right now. Our lives are going to change this year. Somebody just sent me a video, and I'm bringing this in because of him unifying the world and the world being unified through this digital currency, digital communication. The Tower of Babel, they all spoke the same language. One of the things that has hindered the Tower of Babel from coming back together, which the world talks about Mystery Babylon in the last days, is we don't speak the same language, so we don't get along. And it doesn't mean you all get along, but the point is you got to be able to communicate. Well, now with the communication the way it is and digital, we can all communicate instantly. Somebody sent me a video just today. Of this guy, he got an AI to make his reservations for him at a hotel. So the AI calls up, "Hi, this is so and so. I'm an AI agent for Joe, whatever. And we need to see if there's any availability there at the Leonardo." Blah 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 blah. And the assistant goes, "Oh, I'm AI as well. Okay, we can work together on this. Now that we're both AI, we can switch language." And all of a sudden, it goes in this kind of, this weird kind of data sounding thing. And they found what he wanted and put it all together. Well, they had their own language because they didn't need people involved. They communicated, they worked it out, and they found his reservation and did a reservation in their own language, their own thing. You talk about freaky. I mean, they were, there's no soul to them. They can't think, but they can calculate based on how they've been programmed to where they were able to communicate and talk in their own language and get what this guy needed, get his reservations and get all this done for him. Well, what happens again when they just, like I said, people say they take over and they want to run everything on their own. We don't need people anymore. It's kind of the nightmare scenario, kind of the Arnold Schwarzenegger, movie scenario, the Terminator. And again, I know it's not going to become that because the Lord's going to come back before all that happens. But we're going to be in some phase of this AI stuff. I think this is going to lead to the image of the beast there in Jerusalem. I think you're going to see something connected to that with this Antichrist. And also, all I'm saying is that we are living in very, very exciting days. It's something to really, just to kind of watch and be aware of it, especially with kind of the spiritual leadership that he has around him with this. It's the New Apostolic Reformation. That's what NAR stands for. New Apostolic Reformation. So it's a Reformation movement, apostolic, but they believe again that it's dominion theology. They're going to take the world over. So you've got a guy who kind of is enjoying taking the world over, and you got a spiritual advisor saying God has probably appointed him to do that. This is going to be interesting for 4 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, and we hear a lot of his motivation, too, in a lot of his speeches, you know, has to do with how he views how the United States has been treated by other countries.
Yeah.
When it comes, whether it comes to the imbalance of tariffs or taking advantage of this country.
That's right.
And he takes, for lack of a better term, personal umbrage. Yeah. And he's out to set the wrongs right.
Yeah.
And even for that to be his motivation alone, you know, is enough to really kind of put us in the trajectory of fulfilling prophecy to a certain extent, or not fulfilling it, but setting the stage for it to be fulfilled by others when it comes to the end times events.
Yeah, and you know, Greg, that's interesting a lot too, the Antichrist, because remember, now again, he's not, I know that, so I'm not saying that.
Right.
I'm saying he doesn't deal really diplomatically in situations. He just kind of nails people. Almost like, you know, I'm going to say how it is, and here's what we're going to do. The Antichrist is going to do that.
He's going to do that.
And so, like, even today, Zelensky's there at the White House. I mean, he just, to their face, you know, sorry, you're a loser, you're this. He'll say whatever. Like, I told that mayor the other day.
Oh, how about the governor from Maine?
I mean, governor.
Yeah, the governor from Maine.
Yes. He said, you know, you're going to lose your funding, and your career's over. I mean, as a politician, you would never do that. Because you're
but
trying
he's not
to,
a politician.
Exactly. And here's the thing. Neither will the Antichrist be.
Mm-mm.
The Antichrist is going to be given power by the 10-nation conglomerate that's going to be running the world whenever that takes place. They're going to step out of the way, and he's going to come and say, you're a loser. You're done. Forget it. You're done. He's going to be just like, it's almost like it's going to be President Trump on steroids, except an evil form of it.
Yes.
He's going to be a world dictator, which President Trump is not. But he's going to. This guy will be a world dictator. He's going to be it's going to be a really... again, I'm watching all this, and because I know what's coming down the road, it's almost like the world's being prepped. Again, nothing wrong in what the president's doing. I'm thankful that he's making a strong stand against these evil people and saying, here's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
Yeah.
My flesh likes it probably more than it should. But with that said, when you think about when the wrong person, Greg, the Antichrist, who's empowered by Satan and eventually, I think, indwelled by Satan himself, gets in there, it is going to be... you're getting a small taste. Imagine President Trump with 10 times the power, being evil, and just taking over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be nightmare movie stuff. Hollywood couldn't do anything any better than this. Mm-mm. I'm so glad we're going to be gone. And for those who think we're not, I'm sorry you don't understand the scripture, because the Bible clearly says we're going to be out of here.
Yeah.
So, and I look forward to it. Get me out of here. I have no reason I want to stay.
All right, we'll go to Israel for some articles this week. Our first one comes to us by way of Fox News, dated February 22nd. Iran is now testing Trump, as their regime general says it will wipe Israel off the map.
Yeah, again, this is straight out of Ezekiel 38 and 39, where we know Iran literally not only thinks they can do this, they're going to try. And we don't know when they're going to try. But again, when you hear this kind of rhetoric, they're saying they're going to wipe Israel off the map. Well, first of all, that's not going to happen. The Bible tells us it will be Iran that's wiped off the map.
Yeah.
But they're going to come against Israel, try to do it. God's going to supernaturally intervene and fight for them and take out the enemies of Israel. But again, when you see this, Greg, you read it. It's almost like sometimes you feel like, okay, we're out there just grabbing articles that match what we're trying to say. This is literally the regular news, and the world doesn't know the Bible says that this is going to happen. It almost seems like a setup.
Right.
But we know what's going to happen. It says, after President Trump announced he was reimposing his maximum economic sanctions pressure campaign on the Islamic Republic of Iran, a high-level Iranian general declared Thursday his nation will wage an attack designed to obliterate Israel. Yeah, right. According to Iranian regime media outlets, Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, General Ebrahim Jabari said, Operation True Promise 3 will be carried out at the right time, with precision, and on a scale sufficient to destroy Israel and raise Tel Aviv and Haifa to the ground. First of all, no, it won't. But let's go on. Israel Foreign Minister Gideon Sa'ar fired back at Jabari's threat on X, saying, if the Jewish people have learned anything from history, it is this. If your enemy says his goal is to annihilate you, believe him. We are ready.
You know, I would be interesting if we could open up Operation True Promise 3 and see that it was actually the playbook of Ezekiel.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
Well, yeah, because it's like, okay, well, I mean, because you're kind of sounding prophetic here. So
yeah.
What is your plan? Just curious.
Yeah, absolutely. It goes on, it says, Jabari's remarks, that's from Iran, seem to also be aimed at setting up a showdown between Trump and Iran's regime, which is stupid. Anyway, Jabari made his declaration to destroy Israel when he spoke to paramilitary forces during military drills called the Great Exercise of Prophet Muhammad's Power. The Islamic Republic has Trump in its crosshairs with assassination plans since the president ordered a military strike that eliminated General Qassem Soleimani in 2020. If they're trying to send a message to Trump, they should be careful, it's been said. The president has had no problem dispatching the previous head of the Revolutionary Guard in his first term, that is Soleimani. And since then, the regime has tried to assassinate Trump, who now has unfinished business with the regime of Tehran. In other words, okay, you want to fight? Let's fight. Let's see who dies first. We have the bigger weapons. We have the greater technology. I've got the better protection. Let's go.
President Trump, the kids will understand what this means. President Trump keeps receipts.
Yes, he sure does. He sure does. And he's going to be cashing them in. You know, you know, who knows? I'm not saying that President Trump couldn't be assassinated, but when you know someone's trying to assassinate you and you have the best security system in the world, you've got a better chance of making it than pretty much anybody else in the world. Anybody can get to anybody. But I mean, especially if he goes in and takes these guys out, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, they're talking about they have enough uranium now for 6 nuclear weapons, and all they have to do is put them together. It's not as simple as that, but they've got what they need to do it. The point is at some point before they can do that, somebody's got to stop them, Greg. He's going to want Israel to go in and do that, but President Trump is going to be involved as well.
Is a support.
And he's got a motive, a personal motive as well. It's like, you guys want to wipe me out? Well, I'm going to help take you guys out. Now, it is going to be interesting to see what happens because they have put their nuclear facilities deeper than our deepest bunker buster can go. So technically, it's away from what we could do with just a bunker buster. But they're saying is a continual campaign, just boom, boom, one after another. Just keep on going until you get down. I mean, eventually
you're collapsing tunnels and roadways and things like that.
But it's going to be a longer campaign. This
exactly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. All Israel News, dated February 25th, tells us that Israeli security establishment is calling for a limited Ramadan Temple Mount access due to security challenges.
Yeah, and here we go. They're talking about, again, now, they're saying because of security and Ramadan's coming up that they can't emphasize, you know, or allow Ramadan stuff to take place as much. But that doesn't matter to the radical Muslim. It's like, they're not going to care about, hey, we don't care about your security. So now think about the tension that's going to be there during Ramadan, which is coming up. It says the Israeli security establishment is reportedly calling for permitting limited access to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem ahead of the upcoming Muslim holiday of Ramadan. The Temple Mount is the third holiest site in Islam and the holiest site in Judaism. While Israel, and especially its capital, Jerusalem, frequently faces security challenges during Ramadan, the security risks are considered even greater this year as the country is still facing a multi-front war from Iran and its terrorist proxies. The Israeli Defense Ministry, the IDF, the intelligence agency Shin Bet, the Israeli police, and the Israel Prison Service are currently discussing Israel's security challenges and are expected to present concrete recommendations to the political echelon in the coming days. So they're going to have to work this out. Israel security sources told the N12 News that the volatility of Ramadan will largely depend on the situation in Gaza. So you have this, and here's the deal they're facing. They've got Ramadan every year, which is tense in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Ramadan, they want to honor Allah of the Quran, which says that all Jews and Christians should eventually be destroyed. So that right there is not a good setting to start a big celebration that way. On top of it, you got Gaza going where they're mad because their people are being taken out down there in Gaza. And now you're saying, well, because of all this, we have to limit where you go and worship Ramadan on the Temple Mount because of the danger and the tension. So it's like they have to do it, Greg, but it's adding tension upon tension. And again, I think it's going to be a very interesting Ramadan month or so when this kicks into gear coming up. So just keep your eye on it. It's going to be very interesting.
All right. Our last article really plays off of your talk at the beginning of the show, Pastor Mark. And this is from the Jerusalem Post, dated February 24th, where Israel's Gantz says
yes.
that Israel must take control of the West Bank to counter the threats.
There you go. And I agree with them. Again, the PA upholds the PLO's goal of eliminating Israel, and with its militarized police force, there is a fear in Israel that West Bank Palestinians may orchestrate large-scale October 7 style attacks. I think they already tried. We know that, and I think they will. The Yeshiva Council Chair and the Mateh Binyamin Regional Council Head, Israel Gantz, said in a security briefing hosted by the Combat Anti-Semitism Movement, or CAM, on Tuesday. After CAM's Chief Operating Officer, Yigal Nissel, who was hosting the security briefing, asked Gantz if he was saying that he believed attacks similar to the October 2023 massacre in southern Israel could also occur in the West Bank. The Yeshiva Council Head responded that he did not believe so, but that the majority of Israelis did share a fear of such a scenario. And that's funny to me that he says he doesn't think so, because that was the goal here just last week. They were going to try to come out of that region to attack. Again, Israel must assert its sovereignty over the West Bank, says, in order to counter this threat and to assert the Jewish people's historical and biblical claim, Israel must assert its sovereignty over the West Bank. He continued. So look at the language. We have to take over that area. And if they do, it's not going to be the West Bank under the control of Israel. It's going to be, I think, Judea and Samaria, which is what biblically it is and should be. And I think President Trump is going to approve it. I just do. And, you know, it's interesting. We're planning on going here toward the end of the year to Israel in September, Petra, and then on up into Israel. It wouldn't surprise
to
me.
To be able to pilgrimage into biblical Judea and Samaria.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd be able to go in by then, because I don't think they clear out the bad guys by then. But to be over, and maybe, but to be over there and it be called Judea and Samaria, I mean, that's historic in many ways, biblical in many ways, and really cool in another way. So we'll see if that happens. But I think this is where this is going, Greg. I'm hearing more and more talk, and I think you're going to see West Bank being changed to, again, even like the Gulf of America, as we talked about, it's going to be Judea Samaria. And so imagine Google having to change their maps and definitions. That'll be a hard one. But if President Trump puts pressure on them, and who knows? I think we have some very interesting days ahead.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, that's Pastor Mark Kirk, who is helping us understand the signs of the times. It's our weekly review of Bible prophecy in the world's news on WIAM-LP Knoxville. We are a weekly radio broadcast that will be emailing Elon Musk this week to let him know what we've accomplished through podcast episode number 352,
yes.
Available to subscribe
yes.
and listen to wherever you get
he
your
podcast.
He wants
to know five things you did last week.
Well,
he wants to know, Greg, he asked me, he said, tell Greg, send me five things he did last week in the office.
I will work on it right after we get done with this.
All right, just checking.
Okay.
Just checking.
You've got mail.
We've got one listener question this week. This comes from Joan, who enjoys Signs of the Times down in very sunny Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah.
And she's got a question about fear and anxiety relating to the rapture. She says, does the Bible address thoughts of fear and anxiety regarding the rapture?
Now, this is an interesting question, because I wonder which angle she's coming from. Is she talking about someone who has fear and anxiety that it will take place and they'll miss it?
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Or is it fear and anxiety because you don't really know if you're ready to go and you're worried, oh no, what if it happens and I'm not ready?
Wouldn't that kind of be one and the same?
Well,
maybe?
I mean, not to me, because okay. Here's the thing. Look, I think there are some people that are living in sin right now.
Okay.
That are afraid of the rapture happening because they're afraid they'll be left behind.
Okay.
So that causes anxiety.
Okay.
Well, if that's the case, the answer, and I'm not saying that Joan is at all. I doubt Joan is living in sin, or she wouldn't be listening to Signs of the Times. She's probably a very strong believer. But I'm saying there are people out there that would be in that case, and maybe she knows someone like that, and she's asking about that, and they may be fearing, going, you know what, I'm worried. What if the rapture takes place and I'm not ready? Well, you know, here's the answer. Get ready. Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Pertaining to the rapture. So I would say to that person, you need to repent. Now, if that's the case, then that would be the answer to that. I know it sounds, you know, simple, but it really is that simple if people just do it. But is it anxiety about even maybe a true believer, and for some reason they're anxious about it because they're worried about family, or they're worried about leaving somebody behind, or I don't know specifically where Joan's coming from on this, but really the rapture is supposed to produce the exact opposite of this question. This is what it says. I want to read what it says about the rapture. This is out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read these verses about it. This is speaking of the rapture of the church, which is the removal of the church, which I believe we're very near to happening. He says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, that is, that have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. See, we have hope because we know we have heaven. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So when he comes back to get us, all the people that have already died will be with him, and they're going to come back with him. He says, for this we say by the word of the Lord to you, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, so if we're here alive when the rapture takes place, we will by no means precede those or go before those who have already died. That is, the ones who have died will get, I believe what it's saying is they'll get their new body first, and then we'll get a new body instantaneously right after them because of God's proper order. For the Lord himself, here he goes, here's the rapture, will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now note this, here's how we know it's talking about the rapture, not the second coming. In the second coming, Jesus comes with the saints and comes down to the earth. In this instance, he stops in the clouds and we go up to meet him. So these are very clearly two different events, which this one we know is talking about the rapture because we rise to meet the Lord. It says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That is, they'll get their new body, we'll get ours. That's the resurrected body. That's how they'll rise first. Their bodies, he's saying. They're already with the Lord, but they'll get their body. That's the rising of their dust and the transformation. And we'll meet in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now this is for Joan. If you're listening today, this is the answer about the anxiety. Listen to what it says, what God says, what Jesus, what Paul said, speaking in the name of the Lord about the rapture of the church. He said, when you talk about the rapture, he says this, therefore, comfort one another with these words. So the rapture is not a thing of anxiety.
Yeah.
It's given by God as a thing of comfort. And why would it be comforting to the believer? Let's talk about those that are comforted and those that are discomforted. It's a discomfort to the unbeliever or the person living in sin, and that may be where you're asking about somebody that may have anxiety, because they know they're not living right with God, and they don't want God just to show up and catch them. It's like, you don't want somebody to show up and catch you doing something wrong, right? But it's a comfort to those that are walking with God, because they realize he's going to come get them and take them out of this terrible world into the kingdom where the wedding supper of the Lamb will begin, and they'll be forever with the Lord there in the kingdom of God. So he says, comfort one another. Let the church know and believers know that I'm coming to get them, and let them be comforted in the fact that I'm coming to get them. So really, the only anxiety about the rapture, it should be really applied to those that aren't really ready for the return of the Lord. And if you're not ready for the return of the Lord, you have to ask yourself, why? Is it because I am living in a way I shouldn't live? Or option number two, I just want to stay here because I'm worried about my family and my friends and my kids. Again, we have to have the mindset that, listen, it's going to be much better with the Lord, so we need to be ready to go. And then when we go, it's going to be comforting because we're going to be with Jesus and all of our problems will be ended. I mean, think of all the issues we're dealing with right now in the world and physically and all the other things that are going on. How nice it'll be just for that to be over with and we're with the Lord. So the rapture is a source of great comfort, not a source of anxiety. So I would say, Joan, whoever you're dealing with, that you see that's anxious, there's probably something not right. One or two things. Either something is not right with the Lord in that person's life, and so you want to minister to them in that area, or they don't understand the scriptures. And so you need to go and show them, tell them about the rapture, what it really is going to be. We're going to be with the Lord. That is, it is a comfort because we're leaving this evil world to get new bodies and to go to the wedding supper of the Lamb and to forever be with the Lord in glory. So that's a very comforting thing. So again, that would be my two approaches, is find out why they're anxious. And if it's a sin issue or something's not right with God, then confront them on getting that right. And if it's just a lack of understanding about how wonderful the rapture is going to be, then take them to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, share with them about how the Lord's coming to get us, about the fact that we're to comfort one another with these words, and then they're going to be blessed. Which, by the way, one quick point I want to make before we move on this. In relation to the pre-trib rapture, the mid-trib rapture, the post-trib, pre-trib says we're going to be gone at the beginning of the final 7 years out of Daniel that God's going to do with the nation of Israel. Mid-trib says it's going to happen in the middle of the final seven years that God deals with the nation of Israel, you know, the great tribulation. And those who believe in the post-trib say it's going to be at the very end. They're really, biblically to me, it's only possible biblically to be pre-trib. You cannot do mid-trib and post-trib, I don't think, and follow the Bible. And here's why. First of all, if I say that it's mid-trib or post-trib, there's no comfort I can give.
None. None.
I mean, that scripture right there is null and void.
Yes.
Because here's what I'm going to say. You got 3.5 years of horrible suffering under the Antichrist if you're mid-trib. So I'm sorry, just suck it up and you're going to suffer and it's going to be awful. Well, that's not comforting. And then if it's at the very end, negative 7 years of suffering from the Antichrist and the wrath of God. So I can't comfort you there. The only, out of those three, the only one that you can bring comfort to the body of Christ is at the very beginning, the pre-trib rapture. That's why, that's one of the many reasons I believe that it has to be a pre-trib rapture. The other thing I would say is this. Daniel gives the exact number of days of the Great Tribulation. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel says that the Great Tribulation, that final 7 years that God's going to deal with the nation of Israel and God's going to pour his wrath out on the world, he says it's going to be exactly 2,520 days. And that is 7 360-day years. The Jewish calendar runs on a 30-day rather than like we do. So it's going to be exactly 2,520 days. All right, here's the bottom line. If it happens any time, and he also said this, no one will know the day or the hour. The Lord's going to come like a thief, and no one will know the day or the hour of the Lord's coming. Okay, wait a minute. If I can count the number of days when the Antichrist, it says when he signs that treaty, it'll be 2,520 days, this world leader. If I can count the number of days to the mid-trib and the post-trib, I could defy the words of Christ. He said, nobody will know. I said, well, I do. Mid-trib's going to be 1,260 days. Post-trib's going to be 2,520. Jesus said, no one will know. So that tells me these are two different things the Lord's talking about. There's the second coming. And there's some other event. What is the other event? Well, it's the rapture of the church. So when he said he's going to come like a thief, the second coming is not going to be like a thief. Everybody's going to know. Look, there's going to be multitudes of believers on the earth after the rapture, people that get saved. They're going to know Daniel. They're going to know all the tapes and the teachings that have been left behind. They're going to know what the Antichrist is doing. They're going to know the 7 years. They're going to know when the second coming is approaching. Matter of fact, I believe, Greg, there will be people on the earth that can literally count down to the day when the second coming is going to happen. They're going to be able to say, okay, we got 1 week to go. It's been this many days. Okay, now we got this, 2,515, 2,516, 2,517. You get it, not 2,519. Today's the day the Lord's coming back, and they're going to literally be exactly correct because it tells us in Daniel. So that means there has to be some other event that we can't know the day or the hour. And Greg, the only other event would be, number one, the rapture. And the only way we wouldn't know the exact mid-trib or post-trib would mean it has to be at the very beginning, pre-trib. That way, no one can know the day or the hour. And so when Jesus said no one will know the day or the hour, he was talking about the rapture of the church and the fact that it's going to be like a thief in the night at the very beginning of the final 7 years. And then those that get saved afterwards, they're all going to know the exact day of the mid-trib and the exact day of the post-trib and therefore the exact day of the second coming. So, not to get too sidetracked there, but again, at the same time, so that our listeners understand, we have great confidence biblically that the rapture will come first, that we're going to be taken out of here. And I believe, I know we're getting closer and closer by the day. It could happen at any time. And so we take great comfort. Therefore, comfort one another. So now I can say to you right now, you know what? The signs are all around us that the Lord's coming back at any moment. You're going to be taken out of here before the Great Tribulation and before the Antichrist makes the world a nightmare. So therefore, be comforted, fellow believer. Be comforted. And you know what? Anybody that goes past that, they have no comfort for you. So good luck on that one. But I can give you comfort because I believe in the pre-trib rapture.
If you've got a prophecy question like Joan did, just visit our website at thewaymedia.net and click on Signs of the Times and send Pastor Mark your prophecy question. On the boats and on the planes, you shall now come to America legally. Anyway, that's another story. This is from Israel 365 News, dated February 24th. CPAC resolution for Israel to declare sovereignty over the biblical heartland. What does that story title mean?
Here we go. It's the same thing we've been talking about, Greg. Okay. This is what it says. This last election was a powerful statement by the American people expressing faith in Donald Trump's ability to make positive changes for the country. Less than 2 months later, several major organizations have called for the president to bring Israel one step closer to the prophetic vision of returning the Jews to the promised land. They say the promised lane, but I'm sure they meant land. That would be a good idea for
the
our
fast
road
lane.
System. Our road
fast,
system.
Yes.
We're going to introduce in Tennessee the new promised lane.
Yeah. Oh,
and
nice.
That way you can just go like 90 and certain people are limited to be in there, and welcome to the promised lane. I like that, Greg. This I got to talk to some people.
Yes.
Get the governor on the phone for me. Wait till after the show and we'll talk to
And speaking of which, by the way, the sauces are now back at Firehouse.
See,
I've been meaning to send you the commercial. Okay. Well, we're going to digress. Never mind.
That's okay. It's the Promised Land and the Promised Land happening all in one show. You heard it here first. The Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, passed a resolution advocating for the U.S. to support Israel's sovereignty over Judea and Samaria. CPAC is an annual political conference attended by conservative activists and officials nationwide. CPAC is hosted by the American Conservative Union, or the ACU. The resolution was read in front of the conference last Thursday by K.T. McFarland, former Deputy National Security Advisor in U.S. President Donald Trump's first administration. Here's what she said. Listen to this. We believe all these areas, West Bank, are integral parts of Israel. And the United States of America and her allies should recognize Israel's sovereignty over these lands, the resolution stated. Amen and amen. It's time to do it. It's time to say, you know what? There is no West Bank. It's Judea and Samaria. And let's move forward. And I just can't wait. I hope it happens before the Lord comes back. And I think it might.
Wow. In our One World Government news this week, we go to Europe via Breitbart.com for an article dated February 22nd, where we look at German elections, continuity globalism, or shift to right on ballot as voters set to head to the polls. Now, they've already headed to the polls, correct?
So yes, and it went
We've already got the outcome.
Yes,
so
it went conservative. And here's the thing, Greg, before I even read the article, look, again, this goes right in line with, the 10 toes and getting the world ready, because you're going to see a world that's unified. Now, unified generally, and I think it's going to be unified generally in a more conservative side, believe it or not. Now, I could be wrong on that. But we do know there also is going to be the toes mingled with iron and clay. And that means not everybody's going to be happy. Remember, iron and clay don't stick together good.
See, that's a fascinating thought, to think that the toes would be formed from a conservative movement.
Well, and let me not say emphatically I'm saying from a conservative, as much as I do believe it's going to be a more of a dictatorial type approach. It's not going to be, I don't know for sure that I'll say it's conservative. Let me back that up a little bit. I tend to think the way the world's going, that looks like how it's going, because here's what's happening. You're seeing the world now shift toward kind of this conservative side of things. Now, maybe the Antichrist comes in and turns it all back the other way, but that's the way we're headed now. Everybody's kind of, a lot of them begrudgingly, iron and clay maybe, but begrudgingly going along with President Trump. But Greg, definitely the world is, their leaders are standing up in many areas and saying, we want to go more toward kind of the MAGA type approach.
Well, and not only that, President Trump is selling such a land grab, if you will, for lack of a better term, when it comes to Greenland or these other places, as a win-win.
Yeah.
So he's coming at it, like you said in the beginning, he's a businessman first. So he's thinking about solving problems as a businessman would.
Exactly.
And that's what he's presenting. The only difference is that he's got governmental power behind him to help be an influence to what he's trying to sell as a deal.
Yeah.
Where the governmental influence that the Antichrist will have a satanic push behind it that really doesn't care if you like the deal or not.
Well, and
here it comes.
And that's a great point you make there, Greg, because actually when the Holy Spirit is when the church is gone and God allows the enemy to begin to move forward, we know that the more liberal side, we know that the agenda on the more liberal side has been more anti-God historically. So it would stand to reason that it will become more of a liberal world system than a conservative. So let me kind of rephrase all that. I know, but we don't know. But let me just say this. Right now, you're seeing a more right side of things taking over the world and pushing. But again, once you remove the Holy Spirit and the Antichrist comes on the scene, this thing could do a total 180 and shift totally over to liberal. So I'm open to that as well. We really don't know whether or not it'll be kind of a hard-fisted right-wing approach, or whether it'll be total shift over to left-wing and just be this kind of, which historically has kind of been more the liberal side of things. We'll have to wait and see. But either way, right now, things are shifting more toward the conservative side. Says the leftist traffic light coalition, government in Berlin, collapsed just hours after Donald Trump's victory in November, sparking snap elections in Germany. that will likely define the shape of European politics for years to come. Now, again, this could be that reprieve we talked about. God just pushing back that kind of more liberal side that'll be let go into
some Genesis 12:3 benefits.
Yeah, that could let go into full liberalism once the Antichrist comes on the scene. Mm-hmm. Either way, voters will head to the polls across Germany, which they did last Sunday, to determine the next government of the top economy in the EU. And again, we know that it did go conservative. At stake are not only relations between the United States and Europe, but also the future of key globalist agendas such as the Green Deal and the unfettered mass migration into the bloc, with soaring energy prices and a spate of Islamic terror attacks dominating the campaign conversation. The rise of the right-wing party has seen frequent protests from the left, many of which have been reportedly organized by groups funded by the government in Berlin. So very interesting, you know, again, as we do see that lean toward the right. Now we'll have to see whether or not it's going to kind of really jump back hard to the left later. But either way, that's where it's headed now.
Well, Germany's had their own immigration problems.
Yes, they have.
Illegal immigration,
well,
by the way.
And that's probably what's spurring some of this. They realize the mess things are. And typically when things get so bad, you'll see a pushback. And I think we're seeing pushback now. Will that pushback continue on into the Antichrist rule? We don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
All right, as we look at growing anti-Semitism, we have one story this week from All Israel News, dated February 24th. Speaking of Germany.
Yeah.
Berlin Jews reportedly hiding their Jewish background due to growing anti-Semitism. No. Now, in World War II, Hitler forced the Jews to wear the Star of David.
Yeah.
In the same type of hatred, and it's the same spirit at work.
Oh, yeah.
But now this time, they're basically, for lack of a better term, hiding their Star of David.
Yeah, because they can. And I'm sure if they could under Hitler, they would have, because they were abused, but they couldn't under him. Here they can. Again, it's interesting, Greg, to see that kind of more conservative push going on there, but at the same time, the same spirit of the age at work behind the scenes and hating the Jews, which was there in Berlin with Hitler. It says Jews in the German capital of Berlin are reportedly increasingly hiding their Jewish identities in public due to the rise of anti-Semitism. Due to security concerns, members of Berlin's Jewish community no longer publish the full names of children that are celebrating their bar or bat mitzvahs, which used to be tradition. And I quote, "This threat to Jewish life seems to have reached a new dimension, not only in Berlin, which has led to great uncertainty among our community members," Kessling told the news outlet Bild. "Like in many other Western nations, anti-Semitism has increased dramatically in German society following the Hamas October 7th massacre of 1,200 Israelis and kidnapping of over 251 people from Israel." You know, every time I read that article, and I said it last time, it shocks me that it's something that horrible happened to Israel that caused people to hate them more. All it shows me is two things. This is a spiritual battle that we talked about, mm-hmm. Satan hating God.
Yeah.
But number two, Greg, these things are there under the surface, and all it takes is something emotional to push it to the forefront, even though the emotion should be protect the Jews. Everybody have mercy on them. Look what happened to them. Instead, it's turned into those horrible Jews, kill them all. There's no logic, but again, the spiritual battle is not logical. We know that. This is simply demonically inspired hatred by the spirit of the age against the Jews. The Bible said it would happen in the last days, that hatred against them and believers would increase. We're going to see it increase more and more. And again, we're going to see this drive them back to their land. They're being gathered back to their own land, as the Bible predicted, as we saw in Ezekiel a minute ago, as well as many other places. So I think you're going to see this kind of oppression driving them more and more back to their homeland, where they can, you know, celebrate their Jewishness. And yeah, you've still got enemies within, but you can celebrate generally with people that stand with you and support you because they believe the same thing. Yes, part of the spirit of the age in attacking them, but also part of the spirit of God, I think, Greg, driving them home. So I think you're seeing kind of a twofold thing going on here.
Well, and that's also another prophetic barometer for us, Pastor Mark, in terms of how much closer we are to the things that we keep looking towards, and that is the rapture. That is Ezekiel 38 and 39. Yeah. That's going to usher in the revealing of the Antichrist and his solution to take care of the world. So at some point, he's going to have it. The Bible intimates that he's going to have answers that are needed.
Yeah.
So the good that we see happening right now, at some point, can't be good anymore. There's got to be something bad going on for this guy to be needed to show up to be the guy with all the answers.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you're right. That's exactly right. And again, we're seeing God. Again, remember, God's goal is to regather as many as he can. Of course, God could make them all come back, but he's not gonna, I don't think he's going to force every single Jew back. I think there's an indication that maybe there's still Jews scattered around the world, even if the sheep and the goats are going to be bringing them in from other countries. But I think this, I think you're going to see by far the vast majority. They're going to be back in Israel. Remember, there's about 20 million Jews on the planet today. Okay.
And how many would you say are in the nation of Israel?
There's 11 million.
11. Okay.
So you've got almost as many that have to be driven in. You've got another 10 million that need to get in. Let's say a million of them don't. Let's say the million of those the Bible talks about will be regathered at the sheep and the goats, right after that, in the millennial kingdom. It says they'll be bringing them back. Let's say that's about a million, 2 million. That means you've got anywhere from 8 to 9 million more Jews that are going to be brought back in, I think, leading up to the Antichrist. And as close as we are, and of course, God knows the time. We're not limited by that. But if that's the case, I think you're going to see more and more pressure on the Jewish people worldwide, whether it be by hatred or whatever reason, and I'm sure it'll be by hatred, driving them back. And watch this. When they go in and start clearing out Gaza,
they need more room.
And when they go start clearing out the West Bank and call it what it should be, Judea and Samaria, you watch, the persecution worldwide is going to ratchet up way more. And that might be that final, you know, click that lever to 10 and everybody's getting attacked and we're going home, and you might see an influx of millions of Jews that went up. So be watching. If you see something, is it going to be a continual gradual thing, or are there going to be some major events that are going to drive them there back by the millions? I think you're going to see millions more go back. And what's going to do that? I think maybe some of these upcoming episodes with Gaza and the West Bank, keep your eye on it. It's going to get very interesting. But know that when it happens, you know, why are the Jews being so persecuted worldwide? Here's why. God is driving them back and getting them back to the land because they won't go on their own. That's where they're from. They need to go back to their homeland, and God's going to reestablish them.
All right. How about some good news?
Yeah.
This is from ChristianPost.com, dated February 24th. This is very interesting. And again, everything that we've been talking about, it's like we never thought that the things that we've been talking about happening in this country, happening in Israel, would happen.
Yeah.
We just didn't see it. Here's another one. Evangelical group breaks ground on a worship center in Qatar.
Isn't that amazing? Qatar? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, a totally Muslim country, strongly Muslim, even radical Muslim. The $50 million project will provide space for up to 10,000 worshipers at one time, to be built on land leased free of charge from the government.
That's amazing.
It is, but it gives an explanation. Okay. You have the small alliance made up primarily of foreign workers seeks support from the WEA, the international partners, to overcome the challenge of raising the necessary funding for the five-year period ending 2028. A small peninsula Arab country, most of Qatar's population, 2.7 million, is made up of expatriates, 88%. Around 15% identify as Christians. So they've got a 15% population, but listen to this.
Wow.
As the Muslim-majority nation, Qatar enforces strict rules on religious activity. While it permits the expats belonging to be registered to faith groups to worship among themselves, evangelism is forbidden. So what's happening is,
and you know,
this may be even pressure from President Trump, but what's happening is they're saying, okay, look, you can't convert anybody, but you can, if you're in our country and you're here already, you can go ahead and we'll let you build your building to worship your God here. So they see that as a non-threat. The good thing that we see as believers is you put a bunch of on-fire believers in the middle of anywhere, they're going to be sharing their faith. Some of them may be afraid too, but a lot of them won't. And Greg, the gospel is going to spread to those Muslim communities.
You know, what is it? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about being the fragrance of Christ.
Yes.
A sweet smell essentially to those that are being saved and a stench to those that are perishing.
That's right.
And so God's going to have his way through his believers.
He is. And I just think it's wonderful. I see it again as God, again, working in the last days, Greg, to reach people that can't be reached any other way. Remember, God is going, we see here on a regular basis, he's going to these Muslim communities in their dreams. And leading them to the Lord. Well, now you've got, again, it doesn't have to be just dreams. You've got believers that are there. So when they have questions, can say, well, you know what? Here's what the Bible says about Jesus. And so I believe it's not just, as we talked about, the Lord driving the Jews back to their homeland in the last days. God's trying to fill up the wedding supper of the Lamb. Mm-hmm. And God's going to be going after the lost sheep of the nations of Muslim nations as well. Many of them coming from Abraham through Sarah, And many of them simply in that area that need salvation and know the Lord. So again, God is at work. He's going to bring into the kingdom those he wants into the kingdom. And it might be that today God's bringing you into the kingdom. As you've listened to today's broadcast and you've never made that commitment to the Lord, listen, God's Spirit is working on your heart. And he's saying this, if you'll repent of your sins, ask forgiveness. Believe that Jesus died for you on the cross as forgiveness of your sins. Right now, by the radio, by streaming, by internet, whatever you're doing, you can become a born-again believer and be saved. Confess your sin, turn to Christ, repent of your sin, receive him as Lord and Savior, and you will have your place at the wedding supper of the Lamb. We'd love to see you there, and it could start anytime.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Mark, as always, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening. Do not forget thewaymedia.net, not just for things, signs of the times related, but other content to keep you filled with the love of Jesus 24 hours a day. And we hope to see you next Friday right here at 1:30 to discuss more signs of the times right here on WIAM. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here next Friday.